driven to the hospital and it was stupid?
No, it was horse? It was horse and cutter because they didn't plow the roads.
Okay. Then.
And yeah, I have an odd sense of what horse and buggy days were like, because in the wintertime we reverted back to the horse and sleigh or horse and cutter.
Because they couldn't plow the roads. But if the roads were clear, you'd use your car.
If they were clear, but because the roads are you could maybe drive, depending on the year.
Yeah.
Sometime you could maybe drive your car until way on into Christmas.
Right.
And other years, they'd be blocked before then, and you revert, because I can remember, going to our grandparents' place for Christmas, and my father, it was always in my father's family, and so my father had two sisters, and so there were three families who would get together at my grandparents' place for Christmas.
Can I ask I want a couple questions about your family. So where, first of all, you're born in March. So what year, what's your birthday?
39,
okay. Yeah. And secondly, I guess I'm wondering where your parents were from, and where, do you know anything like about where
they were just, they were never lived very far away from there. They never moved very far away from there. So yeah, it was just.
And what about your grandparents? Where are they from?
They were from the Foreman family was from a little south of there.
Wow.
Yeah, they were a little bit south of there, about, as the crow flies, about 50 miles, I guess.
Wow, so really local to the area.
Yeah, they never moved very far away. My grandfather worked in the lumber camp, and that was, I always heard his lumber camp stories, and I always wanted to work in the lumber camp. I guess I'm jumping ahead here now.
That's fine.
I always wanted to work, find out what lumber camp was life was like. So the lumber camps are all done up here at that time. That was in 67.
Yeah.
So I thought that'd be a great, Canada Centennial project for me to go down on the East Coast and work my way across Canada in lumber camps.
Wow, did you do it?
So anyway, way down the Newfoundland, thought I'd start in the East and work my way west. Went down there and got a job working in the lumber camp in Newfoundland.
What was that like?
And you go there, they're so seafaring down there at that time anyway. And could you tell me, you're going to the lumber camp looking for work, and asked for the boss. Oh, the skipper. You want to see the skipper? That's what they call it. The skipper. It was quite a thing. Music and the whole thing. Just like my grandfather talked about, people telling stories and singing songs and playing. The accordion was their big thing. Up here, fiddle was the thing. Up here that a lot of people played in the lumber camps, but down there it was accordion. And they called it the cordine. The cordine. And they run, like Tammy's mother, they run their words together, and Tammy's mother, the first thing she ever said to me was, "Scrout, huh?" Which means, let's go out. Right?
Scrout,
huh? Yeah, scrout is all one.
Wow.
Yeah.
Funny.
Yeah. They run. When the spring came, this little guy says, "Scatter nipper, huh?" Which means they call mosquitoes nippers down there.
Nippers.
And so the odd mosquito, hey, scatter nipper, huh? Well, how would I know what that meant?
hilarious.
And so and there's such a sense of humor, they got. Like, there's this, we're up to Ingalee, for some of the guys that worked in the camp, or up, on the peninsula, up towards St. Anthony, but it was two-thirds of the way up the peninsula towards St. Anthony. And anyway, I can remember, and they go to visit somebody up there, they don't knock on the door, they just walk in, pull the door open and walk in, no knocking on the door, So anyway, we were seeing this one guy. He was went to see this, visit this old guy there in his workshop. And there was this guy, Leonard, his name was, that I worked with there. There he has his dink out through the crack in the wall there, piddling out through the wall. And Leonard, buddy, don't be peeing out through the wall like that. People on the going by on the sidewalk. He says, all they see is me ting. They don't know who's behind it. He says, well, pull it in. They'll be thinking it's mine. He says, yeah, I guess I may as well. I'm all done anyway. Lord, thundering.
Thundering.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, the new piece.
Yeah, yeah, and there, yeah, and they were bringing in some new carriage works at the mill, and there was one, the whole new carriage works because they were going to upgrade the mill. And imagine, probably this thing weighed 600 pounds just to pick up one end of it. So this great big strong guy picked up one end of it, and he was another feller on the island can hoist that. And some of the guys from Mingle, he says, oh, George would hoist that. We, George, hoist that? Don't be talking so ridiculous. And another one, a pipe. George would hoist that. Aye, the whole lot, he's talking so ridiculous. And somebody says, go fetch George. So anyway, out came wee George, you know, waddling along. I thought, he'll never lift that. So he bent down. Holy crap, he moved it. He says to the big guy, get up on that, he said. What for? Get up on that. So the big guy hops up on that. He reached down, picked the whole thing up. He says, I'll hoist you and your bundle any day. So you sit over there to see the young lads. Yes, sir. Takes a feller from England to show the blowhards what hoisting's all about. Yes, sir.
That's awesome.
Oh, gosh. Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, there was when I was in college, there was a lot of newfies.
Yeah.
And they're just... You get three or four of them talking.
Yeah.
You cannot understand them.
That's
it
incredible.
Is a completely other language.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's so bizarre. And fast. Like,
yeah.
Just super
oh.
fast.
And
yeah.
How long did you spend out there then?
I was out there for 10 months, I guess it was.
Did
yeah.
you become fluent in Newfoundland?
I got so that I could understand it, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I did.
Wow.
I did. I now even talked like them.
Yeah.
By the time I got back, I was starting to talk like
that's
them
funny.
Too. You know, yeah. But yeah, it was. Yeah, I remember this. We went down to the waterfront there, and this guy was working on his boat. And one of the guys that I worked with there walked by and knocked one of his wrenches off over the side. And you went to school to learn how to do that? He says, "Yep, for 3 years."
So did you make your goal to go across the country? From
no, I, that was as far as I got. Met Tammy's mother, and that was the end of my project.
Yeah. Became a family man.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that was the end of my
so
project.
So she's from out there?
Yeah.
Tammy's mother, I didn't
yeah.
know.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, her mother passed away 3 years ago, I think, now. Yeah. Yeah, the doctors killed her. She was a hypochondriac.
Was she?
Yeah. And yeah. Yeah, and just and so you know, this is what the doctors do. Oh. Yeah, I'll give you a pill for this, you know. So the side effects to every pill.
Right.
Yeah. And then you gotta have another pill for the
side
effects and it just goes on.
Oh, that's
oh she
too bad.
Had a whole basket of pills that she'd had to take.
Wow.
Yeah. And she you know, like long after she, you know, she'd phone up and she was singing to sing the blues to me once in a while, you know. I telling her all her health problems. I see. I kept telling her, go and see a naturopath. And you can eat your way back to health, you know. And, but I guess she was just so full of toxins.
Yeah.
And her diet was the pits, too.
Right.
Like she'd brag about the fact that she never drank water and it was all soft drinks. And then I guess after we parted, she got into the booze as well. And so I didn't realize that, but Tammy knew that she did a lot of drinking. And her father was a chronic alcoholic.
So it's a big culture out there.
Yeah.
Drinking culture. Right?
Yeah.
The other thing I was going to just sort of touch on is diet is something that I find interesting. Just in my own growing up around here, knowing that my family's diet was very different to what I then got introduced to through the hippie world.
Yeah.
And I noticed that you're in between in terms of your diet. You at some point,
yeah,
changed from that more kind of very processed kind of diet.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering what happened, like where that came from.
Yeah, I was we always had a good garden and stuff like that, you know. But yeah, I wasn't really, just before Tammy's mother left, I got into, I don't know whether you ever knew Dennis Mader or not.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah, well, Dennis Mader was working for the local radio station at that time, and they were running a fiddle contest, and I got into the fiddle contest, and he was very interested in my fiddling. Would you like to join the band? Were you up here when Tenderfingers was on?
I was a kid.
Yeah.
But I remember the posters.
Yeah.
So I never heard them because, of course, they were always at bars and stuff. So
yeah.
But I remember the posters.
Yeah.
Sure.
And so I joined the, and with that I met all these Back to the Land people, and got introduced.
And you had this place already, though. This is
Yeah.
where you lived.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And
so it was music that was the bridge.
Yeah. Yeah. It was always music that got me switched over, you know, into seeing there's another way to live here, you know.
Yeah.
And they were just so, and all the women there, oh my God, I learned all these recipes. All these ladies would come and show me how to cook and spend the night and whatever. And I thought, wow, you know.
This is great.
Yeah, I was in heaven, you know.
This is a great life.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's funny.
And I can remember Cademan. I don't know whether you ever remember that commune back there.
Yep.
Anyway, Ray Nadeau. Debbie's still around here yet.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
But Ray Nadeau, Debbie's ex-husband. Anyway, he gave me that. I was logging back there on their property. I guess it was through Tenderfingers. Well, Gord was then Debbie, which is Ray Nadeau's, the founder of Cademan, Ray Nadeau's ex-wife, so Gord Danks. I don't know if you ever met Gord Danks, a red-headed guy.
Yeah.
But anyway, they were together, and Debbie said, well, she was very interested in having their place logged. And so I spent two winters, I guess, back there logging. Here. But I remember one spring, Ray gave me this bag of pot to take home with me. Well, the stuff was smoking this stuff up every day, you know, and all these ladies showing up and showing me all these different recipes. And wow, you know, what a great time. First thing I know, there was grass growing up around my sap buckets up there. Didn't even get around to putting my sap buckets away, you know, and I go, geez, what have I been doing all this time? You know? So then I can understand where some of these guys are at, you know. Like Andy Conley is one, you know. I can understand where they're coming from, you know. Like all this time goes by.
Right.
And you don't realize it, you know. Wow, I got to stop smoking this stuff, you know.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yes. It's like a vortex.
I'm noticing the battery's going dead.
It is, eh?
Yeah. I thought I would have more.
I don't know whether you
that was so much fun.
I don't know whether you have a charger.
Yeah, no, I forgot. Like, because this camera unfortunately has its own special sauce connector, which I meant to bring with me, but I didn't.
We can go audio.
Yeah, I mean the audio's still going.
As long as you're okay, how are you doing there, Mr. Storyteller?
Mm-hmm.
And I had some questions. There was a question that came up for me in that.
Here's your
right questions.
There was a question about we were talking about, Wayne and I were talking about on the way here. One of the things I'm really curious about is connection to the land, like your relationship with this land. So you talk a lot about logging, but I just wanna know if you have any stories like about this place and like what it means to you, or just even this area. Or even the idea of connection to the land, like what is that?
Yeah, well, this is farm. Yeah. And some of these fields that I'm logging on right now, mostly just poplar, because the poplar are about like this and the maple are like this, but they're all the same age. Poplar grows so much faster.
Right.
So I'm taking the poplar out of what used to be fields, along with logging the rest of it.
Right.
But I have two rules when I harvest a tree. It's got to be dead or dying or crowding a healthy tree.
Okay.
If it's crowding an unhealthy tree, I cut the unhealthy tree, because I've learned that cutting, if a tree is unhealthy, being crowded by a bigger tree, you cut the bigger tree, that other tree will die anyway. You know, and so...
Yeah.
So you take a look at the tree and decide how healthy it is, whether you're going to cut the big one out of the way to let it, to release it, or whether you're going to leave the big tree and cut the small one. And size has nothing to do with whether I decide whether I'm going to cut a tree or not. That has nothing to do with it. It's
health.
Yeah. And it's applying the same principle as of looking after a garden. Trees are big plants. They need room to grow.
Right.
And so I'm just, you know, the timber of the future, I feel, with these high production loggers, is red pine plantations and poplar are the timber of the future.
Right.
Because there's actually more land being covered by trees now than there were in the 40s. And this place here is a prime example of that. But less marketable timber. A lot less marketable timber, but more land being covered by trees. Where once was, you could farm with horses, now it's so
overgrown.
It's so unlevel that tractors roll over where horses could service that land and plow it.
Where the
and
shift came from?
Yeah. Yeah.
So can I ask you a question about that? We have a few hundred acres up on in Maynooth, up on Scotch Bush Road.
Yeah.
So when they cleared that back in the turn of the century, I guess, what animals would they have been using to clear? Would it have been oxen or horses or like
both? Yeah. Yeah.
And what kind of timber would have been there? Like, what would the forest have looked like at that time?
I guess it was more white pine, white and red pine. And as the red and white pine got cut off, then poplar come in, and with poplar then and comes because there was so much, and that's why our soil here is so acidic in relation to other, because evergreen trees produce acid, where maple is the other way.
Yeah.
Maple and poplar and all these leaf trees, they make it more alkaline. And over where I grew up was mostly hardwoods originally, and leeks grow in every bush. Here it's very few, only patches here and there, because leeks don't like acidic soil, and so they grow where there's maple and whatever.
In Halliburton, my husband's family's cottage, there's valleys and valleys of leeks, but it's all hardwood. It's interesting. I wonder if we transplanted some leeks into our hardwood bush, if that would.
It would.
Take.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah. I'm going to harvest a bunch of seeds. Seeds here. Okay. I see, and their seeds are like a radish seed, just a little round, shiny seed. And so I transplanted some. I didn't have any growing here at all. I've got some growing now.
Right.
And I've, back in Mont Eagle there, I knew when I was working the caveman back there, I'd come home in the spring, and this whole hillside there, just this way from what used to be the store, or from the fire hall there now, just this way, that whole hillside in there.
Right.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
As belongs to... Reeves, people by the name of Reeves, Sheldon Reeves. And anyway, I went in there and harvested a whole bunch of seeds and planted them here. And I waited, I raked back the leaves, sprinkled the stuff in there, and raked the seed in with the ground and put the leaves back. And next spring, nothing.
Sure.
The next spring, nothing. The third year, the leaves are up about like this much through the... They peaked up that much through the leaves, and then they gradually got bigger and bigger. But it took that long
for them to
germinate and start growing. And,
change. I have a question for you because when I think of you, I think of music and I think of, well, and also woodworking, but I want you to tell anything you have to say about the relationship between story, music and festivals and community. It's like music, well, just even music and community.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that music is my, I'm not much in sports, not much in a lot of other stuff, but music is my passion, I guess I'd say. And I look forward every summer to going to these different festivals. And, and I look forward, next weekend is my 7 to 11 thing here at the Place for the Arts.
Right.
Yeah. And I look forward to that, yeah. I don't know how you know Virginia DiCarlo.
Yeah?
Yeah, she's the featured performer. Her and Ron Capitan and a guy, I don't know what his last name is, Rob is his name, that plays with Virginia once in a while.
Yeah, yeah.
And, is it Rob and Patsy, Rob?
No.
Yeah, Ron and Patsy.
Oh, that's Ron and Patsy.
Yeah.
But no, Rob, because I know he played at the Arlington when I was there.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure his last name either.
Yeah. And so they're going to be my feature performers.
Cool.
And, I have feature performer and open mic both.
I'm going to send and see if my husband will go. Because he loves it. I can't go because of my head injury. So, can't be, which is really sad. But, Wow. I have, no more specific questions. Is there any other, I could sit and listen to detailed stories all day.
Let me take a look at that list.
Yeah. Here's a list of, let me just give you a list of the themes as well, because that might, anything on there is totally fine. Do you guys need to go have a snack or outdoor time or anything?
I'll do it right now.
Well, yeah, you had one on there. What's your most memorable phone call?
Oh, neat.
Well, okay. So, this is the time our house burned. And this was our first anniversary, me and Donna's first wedding anniversary. And so we went down to Lindsay, to the Grand Old Night of Country Music, they called it then. And Amy, our oldest one, was only 1 year old at that time. Well, less than a year old. And so we left her with this lady, Cheryl Lake was her name. And one of the few times I left home without my instruments. So I said, well, first anniversary, if I go down there, then maybe they're going to ask me to play or something. And I just want to sit back and listen, because I like to entertain, but I also like to be entertained.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, well, this is the night, our anniversary, this is the night I want to be entertained. So anyway, we went down there, and the phone call, or somebody paged me. They want you at the office. And I thought, oh, they're going to ask me to play. Ha-ha, I don't have my instruments with me. So anyway, they handed me the phone. Picked up the phone. This is Cheryl. Right away, I thought, the baby, something's happened. Your house is burning down. Oh, was that all? I just thought, felt good for about 2 seconds.
Whoa, that's a heavy call.
Yeah. Because as soon as they said Cheryl, this is Cheryl, well, it's got to have something to do.
Of course, with the baby.
Yeah, this is what my first thoughts,
Yeah.
And your house is burning down. Oh.
So for a second, you're okay.
That's that all, yeah.
So what was the fire department situation at that time? Around here.
Yeah, they didn't have the pond across the road. If they'd had a pond across the road at that time, I think they could have got the fire out.
Huh.
Because they come in, got the fire out,
right.
And they had to go way up the road to the lake out here
to refill.
And by the time they got back, of course, the fire was well again. They put it out again and go for more water, run out of water.
Wow.
But if that pond was there at that time, they could have had enough hose that they could have run right down to that pond and got the fire out.
What year was that?
That was 90.
And so did you come back up
Or 91. Well, I went back and I said, well, the house is burned. Well, let's go home. No sense in going home. That time we get there, you know.
Yeah.
Might as well stay here and
right.
see what we came for, you know. But I mean, it was.
That's a crazy phone call.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. See if there's something else here.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
I've heard stories that people up here that keep bins in the barn of extra clothing and things in case your house burns down. So stashes. I thought that was a really good idea.
Yeah. No, in my family we had like 3 cabins, 2 lodges.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was quite. I've been in there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That was quite.
So,
I've
got very little childhood pictures.
Yeah.
And stuff like that, because most of it's been burned.
Oh wow.
Yeah. Because especially up in Sabine, and back in McKenzie Lake, there's no way fire trucks are gonna get there.
Right.
Yeah.
At any time.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
Wow. Especially back then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're talking about my ancestors.
Yeah.
I don't know whether it was my great-great-grandfather or great-grandfather came over from England way back in the 1800s, and his parents-in-law willed him $100,000 back then, and that would be like $1 million now, you know.
Yeah.
But he quit farming and had lots of friends and blew all the money before he passed away, and the people remarked that any good ever amount the foreman's any good out of them came from the spear side. It didn't come from the foreman's side, because there was a spears that welled them the $100,000. So, but to think that $100,000, he could have lived off the interest, for God's sake.
Back then,
yeah.
What's the do you know the history of the name of Foreman? So it's Foreman and Spears are the two names?
Spears was his wife's name.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
Was his wife's maiden name.
Right.
Foreman, I imagine, it'd be an occupation like Smith or
right. That's
or
what
whatever,
I
you know. It'd be somebody.
I watched a video it's about the well, the name is escaping me. It's the little clip about putting up the
banjo.
Yeah,
the banjo. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And he said, "I'm Foreman by name, but not by nature."
Yeah.
And he had to learn how to be that role. That's funny.
Yeah.
Oh, that was hilarious.
Oh, I thought there was all these amateurs working on there, and I thought there's going to be an accident here. You know, and I can remember Abby Laidlaw walking across this plank that was kind of bouncy like that from one scaffold to another, and as he was walking it was bouncing and coming to the end a little bit with every step, you know, and he did make it to the other side. And and anyway, there's Abby Laidlaw and Bob Rennie. You must remember Bob Rennie. Anyway, they were two volunteers there. So I put the one beam that goes at the back of the stage that goes from one side to the other. So I set the one beam up on its edge into the right slot where it was supposed to be, but I couldn't see across to the other side. I had that machine that you see just up here. That's what I lifted everything together with. And anyway, I was going around to the other side to lift it into place. And so I had them with 2 cant hooks, Abby on one side and Bob Rennie on the other side, holding the beam up straight, so while I went around. And anyway, neither one of them came to work the next day. They were pooped. Because I guess they were fighting against each other, you know.
Oh, yeah,
they'd come their way and they'd lift a little harder, and then they'd come their way and they'd lift a little harder, you know. And I could see them, they were trembling, you know, and I thought it was just from being up high, you know, but there was the exertion that there were the trembling.
That's funny.
It was and so many and Wilbert Marway, it's too bad he wasn't still alive. He has a lot of stories. But he told me this one story. He lived up the Snow Road. It was known, when I first come up here, it was the slum of Bancroft. Yeah. If you wanted, if bootleggers, there's so many bootleggers up there, and prostitutes as well, you know. So if you wanted to get laid and you wanted to get drunk, there's where to go, up the Snow Road.
Snow Road, I didn't know that.
Yeah. But anyway, Wilbert Marway lived up the Snow Road there, and he said he kept a bunch of chickens in the back. And he kept, you know, these chickens missing. He set traps like there was a fox, you know. So one day he was looking out his yard there, and there was this chicken walking across the yard, and its head straight out like this. Usually when chickens walk, their head goes like this, you know. Yeah. Well, that chicken's going up the steps right into Everett's back porch. I better get over there before that chicken craps in his porch. So he gets over there. Everett's putting his fishing pole away. He was casting stuff out into the yard there, and the chickens would pick it up, and he'd reel in the chicken.
Your chicken fishing for yeah. chickens.
Yeah. So that was Wilbert's story there.
Oh, that's great. That's hilarious.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, what a thing to discover. That's yeah. hilarious. Yeah. That'd just be a head.
Yeah, he saw it. Because he couldn't see the line from that far
yeah,
away, eh?
Yeah.
So the chicken walking along like this. That's a weird way for that chicken to be walking. You know?
I didn't know that Bancroft had quite such a colorful.
Yeah,
for
well,
such a religious community.
Yeah, no, well, I mean, it's, you know, yeah, every yeah. place has its,
yeah,
you know, kind of back alley.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
speak,
neat.
You know?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. When I was going through for legal custody for Tammy, the lawyer told me, "Do you go to church?" And I said, "No, I don't. I haven't, you know." That's the reason why I left home, was because there's still much church going on. Well, I'd advise you to pick out a church and go to church. So I picked the Brethren Church down here. And I get in there, you know. And all the, you know, I've hardly ever wear a suit, but anyway, I got my suit on and went, you know, and got in there and I thought, what is this all about? You know, all the women there are all painted up like a bunch of Easter eggs. So I went there as soon as I got legal custody for Tammy. Well, I didn't bother going back. But, yeah. Yeah. But yeah, it was. But yeah, it was very, and I guess it was dry for years, and like the oasis out there where across the road from where Ruby's is, that was the only place you could go, or the Arlington Hotel in Maynooth.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and there was no liquor store or beer store.
What's the Oasis? Yeah.
It was called the Oasis.
Yeah, it was yeah. used
like
to be
a bar,
restaurant.
Right. Yeah.
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 Or Gentleman's
yeah.
Club. I
yeah.
think it was later.
And at that time, the Arlington Hotel was ladies and escorts. And,
yeah.
And gentlemen, ladies and escorts.
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
yeah, that was
separate, like a
yeah.
separate entrance for each. That's
yeah.
why there's two doors in, eh?
I did not
yeah.
know
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so the guys used to be in the men's place there because you weren't allowed into the other part unless you had a lady for an escort.
Yeah.
So they would look in, and if they see a couple of women there that didn't have any men with them, they'd slide in there, you know, and maybe.
Yeah, I had
no yeah.
idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
you. Yeah.
I feel like Maynooth's got a lot of stories.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Now, when I was a teenager, the Arlington used to scare me. I just
yeah.
couldn't go in there. Like, it was just, it was just always fights. And,
it's a bit of
know.
A rough
Oh.
Thing.
Well, the Scots.
Yeah.
The Scots.
Okay, so
yeah, the Scots up there, they were the most quarrelsome people you would ever want to meet.
Yeah.
And the Arlington was changing hands so often, Lois and what was her husband's name? I forget what her husband's name was, but they made more money selling that Arlington and repossessing it than they did running the damn thing. You know?
yeah.
And so, yeah, no, anyway, the Scots would all get blackballed, and and weren't allowed in there. Well, as soon as they changed ownership, back in they would be again, you know, and it'd be only a matter of time until they'd be disallowed in there again, you know, and then it changed hands again, back in they'd be again. Never seen such a bunch of scrap and bunch of idiots. But anyway, my next neighbor, he was the most horrible guy to get along with. He tried his best to get me stopped from my little operation down the road here. It's not zoned for industrial and all that, and I went around to the other neighbors here and see if they had any problem with what I'm doing. No, we wish you all the luck in the world, you know. Yeah. Oh, well, Jenkins doesn't. Oh, that. And so they had a quarrel with him as well, you know.
Wow.
I mean, the guy up the road, their thing was, they both hunted in deer season, and they made a pact between them that if they chased the deer when it went over onto their property, they could keep on going, you know, and vice versa.
Yeah.
But anyway, the first time he went to come across here, he was ordered to hell off the property, so that ended that little pact. So that, and line arguments for the people living on the other side.
Yeah.
And so anyway, I found out that this guy's mother was a Scot from Maynooth. Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
He can't help himself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Growing up, the family feuds around here that I would hear about, they weren't as bad by the time I was growing up, but legendary.
Yeah.
No way, legendary. I did not know that.
Yeah.
Just feuds. I mean, that's where one of the stores in Maynooth burnt down. Like there was, like on the corner there, there used to be a store there.
Well, they had a play. They had a play about the L words.
Yes, the L words. Yeah. And well, that, which that is the last woman to be hung in Canada was from Maynooth. There's a play about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, called The Fence. It's very interesting, actually.
Oh, I think I picked up a book in Ashley's about it.
Yes, there's a book kicking around about it as well.
Yeah.
Really, Jackie, she's actually was her...
Jackie Lopez?
Lopez with Jim Henry and Susan Ballantyne.
In the play.
They wrote the play.
Oh, yeah.
And they did an enormous amount of research. So they're definitely researching.
And that is the second one on that subject.
Yeah.
Because you ask Kathy Rull.
Yeah.
She was a Fitzgerald.
Yeah.
And you ask her and Gloria Levesque wrote it.
Right.
And it was along the same line. But but this one here was much more graphic with the hanging and all that.
Yeah.
That was sick.
Did it
that cause was a real
controversy? Like is
yeah, it was Protestant Catholic kind of a deal.
Okay.
Yeah. And also the class divide in there and the Irish-Scottish kind of, you know, so there's a lot of that kind
of... It all started with chickens wandering across the road and they got in an argument and she hit him with a scythe, slashed him with a scythe, and I guess he came across on her side then and mouthing off and she give him a swipe of the scythe, and he never had the cut looked after, and he died on that account. And then she was charged with murder.
With murder.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did read that story. What?
Yeah. No, and like I say, like growing up, it's just like, it was funny because it was like, there wasn't a lot of that kind of stuff going on, but there was always a subtext of, you know, this dangerous kind of...
Yeah.
Well, I've always felt like Maynooth is a bit of the Wild West.
Mm. Yeah.
I refer to it like that. It has this like...
Yeah. Well, the old guy that used to live across the road, Gerald Mountney, I heard a lot, he did a lot of, and spent time in Kingston for making moonshine years ago. And he said that...
Donna home already?
But anyway,
what's after three?
Yeah. But anyway, he said that he lived further back at that time. When I knew him, they lived across the road, but they had the farm further back, and there was a long driveway. Mm-hmm. And so he had a whole bunch of jugs of moonshine, and here the revenue people were coming down the long driveway, So he gathered all these jugs together and got his wife up in bed and put all these jugs in around her and let on that his wife was an old Susie. She said, oh, yeah, I never thought they'd ever leave. I knew if I moved, then jugs would clank together and we'd be discovered.
Oh, my gosh. I have a real fascination with that moonshine lore and culture. Yeah. I've never, that's pretty wild. That's crazy.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that.
Things, and they had the big flour barrel there, and they could hide their moonshine under the flour.
What year would this have been, ish?
This would be in the 40s.
Okay.
40s, 50s, wow. I guess. Maybe partly into the 50s, yeah.
Now, there are some stories.
They want you to phone State Farm. They phone.
Oh, good. Wow. But,
it's quite the goings-on that went down. But, I don't know. If there's any problem with you borrowing that book, I'll give you a call. But okay. I'll phone Rick tonight.
Great.
I'll phone Rick tonight and say, is it okay?
Yeah.
And if you say, no, I wouldn't really want to pick it up, well, then I'll give you a call. But if you don't hear from me,
Then it's okay.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Oh, John, this has been so great. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Like, good start.
Yeah. I feel so lucky.
Yeah. Well.
Thank you. If you